I just turned it on, so it may be real loud. Okay. We certainly are appreciative of you being here. We made a mistake and announced that we were having a congregational meeting this morning. and everything's going to be made a little bit shorter, except the sermon tonight. So we're glad that you are here with us. Maybe you heard about the young man that came to see Nathan for some counseling. He told him, he said, I've been having two recurring dreams, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's really bothering me. And he said, well, you want to tell me what they are? And he said, well, one, I'll go to sleep, and I dream that I am an Indian teepee. He said, an Indian teepee. That's interesting. He said, and then I go back to sleep, and I dream that I am a wigwam. And he said, a wigwam. He said, well, what do you make of that? And Nathan said, well, it seems to me that you're too tense. If you get that, raise your hand. You got it, huh? When I was a kid, I grew up about 18 miles from Natchez, Mississippi, on the Louisiana side in the Delta on the farm there. There was one of the places that was kind of fascinating to a kid. You know, there may be where everybody grows up, somewhere in the area, there's some place that kids don't go. Well, there's a place that maybe some of you have heard of. It was called Natchez Under the Hill. And Natchez Under the Hill was the place where the riverboats came and tied up, and they had lots of gambling and other activities that were not wholesome for not only young kids but anybody else. So you just didn't go down there. And if you were a teenage boy, then you locked your car and you ran, you drove down there and you turned around and came back real fast. But there was always a fascination about the Mississippi River for me and my friends. There was a fascination about Natchez on the Hill, but we didn't do anything there. But we did swim in the Mississippi River because that just seemed like a pretty neat thing to do. And there was a railroad trestle that came out on one side of the river, and they ferried the train across to the other side. And a railroad trestle came out there, and they actually would run about four or five cars on this ferry, railroad cars on this ferry off the track, and then they would join up tracks on the other side and pull them off and so forth. And so it just seemed to be a really fun thing for us to do, to walk out to the end of that railroad trestle and jump off into the Mississippi and see the current was really swift right there, and so see how quickly you could get back and hit the land. And a story hit the papers whenever I was a kid about some boys that were down there. Unfortunately, it wasn't me, but there were some boys walking along the river there, not too far from the bridge there crossing from between Louisiana and Mississippi. And boys are always kicking in the sand and the dirt and finding what they can. Well, and you're always finding, if you find a good flat skipping rock, well, you know, that's a treasure. And so they came up on these really good rocks, and they were skipping out across the river, and it began to dawn on them that there were a lot of these flat rocks right here in this same place. And so one of the boys, after they'd skipped a number of them out across the water, picked one up and started trying to break it and scrape on it, and found out that it was gold coins. And it was really quite a stir there for a while that evidently somebody had buried some money there at some point. And they just came up on it, and they didn't really realize what they had. Certainly, or they wouldn't have been skipping that across the water. There was a family of sharecroppers that lived on a sheep ranch. And as will happen in sheep farming, a ewe died giving birth, and the family took the little lamb in to nurse it with a milk rag. And that little lamb, soon found its way into the hearts of every family member with its antics and tricks, and little orphan lambs make pretty neat pets. But they're kind of like kittens. They grow up to be cats. You know, they grow up to, after a while, they're not such good pets. But when they're lambs, they really make good pets. And the children named the lamb. And each one of them took turns feeding it and even sleeping with it on their straw mats at night. And one day the ranch foreman knocked on the door, and when they opened the door, he announced, "The boss wants that fat little lamb that you've got there." And the father watched helplessly as he pried that little pet lamb away from his sobbing children's hands. And as he walked out the door with that little lamb under his arm, he turned around and angrily said to the crying children, "Hey, it's only a sheep." But he didn't know what he had. That story, by the way, is in 2 Samuel 12, a bit embellished. There was a lonely man walking through the village square one day, and he stopped to view what at the time was a common spectacle, a slave auction. He watched as strong young men were sold like workhorses, and young women were sold like broodmares. And old men and women alike were either given away or sold for a small pittance. And as he watched, there was a tired old woman who was pushed up on the block. She looked used up and helpless and terrified. And slowly, recognition dawned in his eyes as he watched the auctioneer roughly grab the woman by her cheeks with one hand, and he roughly turned her face from side to side, and he sneered, "Folks, she ain't much, but she ain't as old as she looks. She's strong enough to work. The owner says he'll let her go for 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley, about half the price of a decent slave of the day." He roughly pushed his way through the crowd until he stood squarely in front of the auction block. And his eyes welled up with tears as he heard the auctioneer laughingly say, "They tell me she was quite a filly in her time." And Hosea quietly said, "I'll buy her. Her name is Gomer. She's my wife." The auctioneer didn't know what he had. One day, the members of the Sanhedrin called an emergency meeting. Rumors had reached their ears that the carpenter's son had now raised his dead friend from the dead. The council voted. He must die. Their best laid plans for the next few weeks failed repeatedly. He was smart. But something had to be done because more and more people were following him every day. Then the word came. The one they call Judas could be bought. Quickly, false witnesses have to be found and paid. Everything has to be planned, and it has to go smoothly. Where? Gethsemane. When? During the Passover, he'll be in Jerusalem. How? Judas will identify him. It was done, and everything went according to plan. No fight. The next day, he was before Pilate, a Roman would have to sentence him to death. Pilate is going to release him. No, release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. He staggered down the road that later would be called Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows. And he was humiliated and tortured to death forsaken, betrayed, denied. And he said, for this hour I came. And as the painful cry pierced the pregnant silence of Golgotha, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In heaven, thousands and thousands of angels who had been ordered to stand down watched in angry awe. And one whispered to another, why is he letting them do this? He's worth more than every human that will ever live. Listen, another said. What's he saying? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. My dear friends, those who have never been convicted of your sins, do you realize who He is? Do you realize what He has done? Do you realize who it was for? He had you in His heart and in His mind every day before you were ever born. And my dear brethren, who have taken so lightly the forgiveness of our sins, do you not know what you have in your salvation? And in your Bible, and in His bride, the church, and in the privilege it is to serve others on His behalf. Do you know what you have? And the shepherd watches as the sheep walk away and say, I don't want you to be my shepherd anymore. I can take care of myself. And the angels say, they still do not know what they're doing. Let's stand and sing.